but it's not a week that I want to repeat. A while back, Ken did ask me to speak today, and that was no problem at all. And then one of our oldest friends, more than 50 years, died on Tuesday at home from some kind of yet-to-be-determined medical complication. And then on Thursday, as Stuart has already mentioned, our very close former sister-in-law, Sally Clark, and her husband, Jimmy, were traveling back home to Danville from a doctor's appointment in North Carolina when they were hit head-on by another car. And Sally died instantly. Sally was first married to Lee Parrish, and what a precious soul she was. Let me pray first. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint this place, that you would anoint the words that you've given me, that you would anoint this servant who's trying to present the message that you have put on my heart. In Jesus' name. I want to start this morning by giving some encouraging words. And you can open your Bibles. I would encourage you to do that. And I'm going to mention a lot of different scriptures this morning. And some of them I may forget to say, well, look this verse up first. So pardon me if I don't do that. But right now, look at Genesis 1, verse 1. Can you find that? Genesis 1, verse 1. And it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now turn to John, the Gospel of John 1 through 5 and verse 14. Because the scripture in Genesis, the first words that are penned there in our Bible, and John 1 through 5 and verse 14, they all tie together. And there in John, it says this about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. Now, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word in John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory, His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now in these verses, where was Jesus? Who was Jesus? And what did Jesus do? The scripture clearly says here, God existed in the beginning. So, where was Jesus? Jesus was in the beginning. And what did He do? He created everything. John goes on to say, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Another description of who Jesus is. Furthermore, John continues to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, where we beheld His glory. What kind of glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We're talking about Jesus, who became flesh. He was born of a virgin, but he was all God and all man at the same time. And he was the only begotten of the Father. And his name is Jesus. God loves you. He loves you and me more than we can begin to imagine. Look at Romans 5:8, if you can turn there. There's a comprehension that we don't fully understand, I don't think, and that's how much God really loves us. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, all of us, Christ died for us. The one who became flesh, God himself, Jesus, died for us. John 3:16, we all know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:1, if you want to look there. And again, these verses that I'm talking about, they're describing the love of God. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed. He has bestowed his love on us, that we should be called, what? Children. Not just children of our mother and father, but children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. But brothers and sisters, hear this. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's Zephaniah 3:17. Listen to me. It's impossible. It's impossible to measure the love of God, because he is love. He gives us the capability to love each other and to love him. But he encompasses everything that there is, that describes and that is love. Let it soak in for a little while. The love of the Father is demonstrated through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And as believers, the Holy Spirit ministers the reality of all of that. The Holy Spirit ministers that to our soul. I'm going to change gears a little bit. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. I developed a personal relationship with God at an early age, probably around 8. I don't remember the exact age. My parents were Southern Baptists. Everybody is Southern Baptist, raise your hand. If you were raised in a Baptist church, raise your hand. Okay. We forgive you. My parents, being Southern Baptists, made sure that my brother Butch, but my brother's name is Alfred, but my parents called him Butch, so I called him Butch. So my parents made sure that Butch and I went to church every Sunday. At that time, we belonged to Arlington Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Has anybody been there? You've never been there. As I remember it, it looks just like the Baptist church right down the street here when I was growing up. It was about, most Baptist churches look the same. Okay, so picture the Baptist church down the street. And so I remember the first Bible verse that I memorized in Sunday school being Psalm 122. Write this down, it's important. Psalm 122, 1. You need to memorize this one. It's easy. I've got it right here on the page. All I got to do is read it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That should excite us, that we are invited to go to the house of the Lord. God wants us to gather together as the church. He wants us to be in the fellowship with one another. And so we should be excited. We should be glad. We should be thankful for the opportunity to gather together in a place like this in America where it's okay to do that. Now, I don't want to get into politics, but please be aware of what's going on in our nation. My first earthly relationship outside of our small family was a little boy named Zen, X-E-N, Portwood, who lived across the street from us on Bellevue Street in Knoxville. You've all been to Bellevue Street in Knoxville, right? Probably not. I loved living in Knoxville for a variety of reasons, and I still have fond memories of living there. We lived close enough to Gatlinburg so that we could get in the car on a Sunday after church and drive like to the Peaks of Otter. It's a little further than the Peaks of Otter from here. But we lived close enough to Gatlinburg to get up and go, and my mother would have already packed a picnic lunch, and there was a particular place right outside the outer edge after you go through Gatlinburg. Just outside the outer edge is where the great Smoky Mountain National Park begins. Maybe within a quarter of a mile or so of the beginning of the national park, there was a place we could pull over and we could get out of the car. And of course, we were little guys and we were all excited about playing in the water and all of that. The river, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I already am. There's a creek right there in the national park. Well, they call it a river. It's actually the Little Pigeon River. And if you know about Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and Sevierville and all that, that river begins up there in the mountains, goes down through Gatlinburg and all the way down, and it gets bigger and bigger as it goes down. Okay, and so we would go to this particular place and we would take our picnic lunch and my brother and I would play as my mother was preparing the lunch and we would play with our daddy until my mother would call us to eat. Back then, there was no Pigeon Forge. There was no Dollywood. Dolly and I grew up together. Did you know that? She and I are the same age. I never met her, but I mean, I feel kin to her. So there's no Pigeon Forge, there's no Dollywood, and there was little at all of what's called Sevierville, Tennessee. Back then, when in the early 50s, Sevierville was a crossroad. Have you been to Rustburg? Sevierville was like Rustburg when I was growing up. So anyway, my friend Zen and I were inseparable. We had a lot in common, including our birthdays. I was born on March the 6th, 1945. Zen was born on March the 6th, 1946. And by the way, rabbit trail here, Bonnie was born on August the 2nd. By the way, today's her birthday. And Zen's father, Big Zen, we call Little Zen and Big Zen. Big Zen and Bonnie have the same birthday. And he had a special name for his birthday date. He said that Bonnie and I were born on August the 2th. So today is Bonnie's August the 2th birthday. But once we met as little boys and were able to visit each other, I was either in his house or he was in mine, and we did everything together, good, some bad. Zen's parents treated me as though I was one of his own children, and my parents treated him as though he was one of ours. We played at each other's house, and we ate at each other's house, and we spent the night at each other's house. We could say that we were best buds. Zen and I had inquisitive minds. We loved to explore around each other's houses. Got us in trouble a number of times. We loved to take things apart and try to put them back together like a pocket watch that we probably should not have found, or an old record player. Do you remember record players? Just think about it for a minute. This is the early to mid, we'll say the late 40s and early to mid 50s. There were no video games. Nobody had ever heard of a video game. A video game? In fact, for those of us that are youngsters, there was no television. I remember Bellevue Street? We sat on the back porch of our house on Bellevue Street and watched them build the first TV towers on Sharps Ridge. You know where Sharps Ridge is? You told me you've been to Knoxville. Sharps Ridge was where they built the television towers. I watched them build the first ones, and now Sharps Ridge is full of towers. But I'm old. We didn't have all these things. We had to entertain ourselves as little boys. One day, I was over at Zen's house. We discovered some innocent-looking paint cans and some wide brushes left behind by some house painters, along with some fertilizer. I don't remember how, but we figured out how to open that half-filled paint can. We added some fertilizer. We mixed them up together, and then we proceeded to go outside and paint the Portwood's car. Back in those days, every car was black. So any paint we put on there of any other color would really stand out. Our parents were not very happy. Neither of our sets of parents were happy campers. I'm sure we were punished. And they reminded us of this incident quite often as we continued to grow up. But to us, we were just boys being boys. Our parents were very forgiving. Getting back to my early relationship with God, I remember attending a revival at our church. And more than likely, it was one of those week-long revivals with an evangelist speaking each night. And I don't remember what the evangelist's theme was for his series of revival sermons, but I remember being convicted in my heart on one of those nights that I needed to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It wasn't planned. My parents hadn't coaxed me to do this. But I found myself at the age of 8 walking down that long aisle to say yes to Jesus. I recall after that service that my daddy, bent down and asked me this question. Do you understand what you did tonight? And I looked up at him and I said, yes, sir. Shortly after that, I was baptized. And all of that born again experience was my early Christian foundation for the rest of my life. Just a few short years later, on a Sunday morning, October the 2nd, 1955, my daddy was not feeling well, but my mother took us to church as normal and dropped us off there. But when it was time to be picked up, my mother was not in the parking lot waiting for us, a neighbor was. When we got home, our daddy was extremely ill, and my mother said an ambulance was on the way to our house to take him to the hospital. I remember vividly seeing my little 5'2", 98-pound mother standing in the front yard, waving down the ambulance. That was the last time Butch and I saw our daddy alive. He died that afternoon of a massive heart attack at the age of 39. My brother was 13 and I was 10. Everything we knew as normal suddenly collapsed around us. But somehow, thanks to the foundation that started a couple of years earlier, as a 10-year-old, I somehow had peace. It was hard. My mother was devastated. Our lives became very different. But God began to orchestrate the rest of my life in some unique ways. Fast forward again to the age of 15. I was still in church every Sunday, attending Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. Dr. James Newman, who later ended up coming to Lynchburg to pastor West Lynchburg Baptist Church, he was the pastor of Mount Vernon Baptist Church when I was 15. And again, he must have preached a compelling sermon that touched my heart to walk down another aisle in a different church to point me in the direction of dedicating my life to full-time Christian ministry. I did not know until later in life what that might be. What that says behind me is what it ended up being. But God had a plan. Fast forward again to the age of 19, and I found myself in Lynchburg, Virginia. Been there? Okay. Where I met an incredible young lady 62 years ago, and her very loving and caring family that changed my life in some unbelievable ways. I not only found my future wife, but I fell in love with her family and with her city. And just like it's impossible to measure the love of God, it's impossible to measure my love for her. I'll continue to do that. During the 60 years that Bonnie and I have been married, 60 years, it's a long time. Wow. During the 60 years that Bonnie and I have been married, God has opened ministry opportunities, and we have developed hundreds of various relationships. This whole message is really about relationships. And we've developed relationships. Speaking of relationships, one of my oldest and big brothers in the Lord, the one I mentioned earlier, Milton Coleman. Once we met some 55 years ago, we found that we had a lot in common. Most of all, we were both growing in our faith in Jesus. In fact, as our faith grew, we both rededicated our lives to the Lord and were rebaptized as adults on the same Sunday. The kind of friendship we developed was one where we could just sit and talk about almost anything. We both loved woodworking, and through the years, he and his wife built some of the most beautiful grandfather clocks that I've ever seen. Milton and Lois introduced Bonnie and me to Smith Mountain Lake, and I had the opportunity to lend a hand from time to time while they were finishing the inside of their lake house. Milton allowed us to park our pontoon boat at their dock for a while. I always looked up to Milton. He was one of those friends that you could call 24 hours a day, and he would answer. Unfortunately, this past week, my friend Milton breathed his last breath on earth and his first breath in heaven, standing in the presence of Jesus. I'll be preaching his funeral service tomorrow. Everybody needs a Milton in their life. I'm going to really miss that man. Think about this. This is important. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Every chance you get to spend time with family members and old friends, hug their necks and tell them that you love them. While I'm on that subject, please tell those you love them that you do. Tell them that you love them often. Every time you see them or talk to them on the phone or text them, let them know how much they mean to you. There are two other very close family, friends and family members that I want to mention that have helped me grow in my faith and encouraged me through the years. They are Bonnie's two brothers. Those guys have been both impacted Bonnie and me in so many different ways. Lee helped us crack open our shell, so to speak, when it came to prayer and ministry and music. I remember sitting in the driveway, and I think he was still in college, and I remember sitting in the driveway, and we were getting ready to drop him off at home. He was on break from what's that school he went to? The one in Blacksburg. And so he was in the back seat of the car, and he said, before I go in the house, I want to do something. And he had become part of the Navigators program at Tech. And so he said, I want to do something before I go in the house, and I want to pray with you. We weren't used to that. I'm not used to my brother-in-law praying with us. That's just not something we did. And he said, I just want to let you know how important it is that I pray with you guys. That's part of cracking open that shell that I said it talked about. Way back in the day, Lee and Becky and Bonnie and I sang in a quartet together. We called ourselves the Sunshine Quartet. S-O-N. Sunshine Quartet. Bonnie's cousin Kathy England played the piano, and Ken was our sound guy. Everybody needs a sound guy. What do you call him? Road something. What's the right term? Roadie. He was our roadie. That was a long time ago. God called Lee to be a pastor in both Houstonville, Kentucky, and Danville, Virginia. He was more than a brother. He was a mentor and a gentle giant that impacted countless lives in many ways. Lee died way too early, but he helped us build on our faith foundation. And then there's Pastor Ken and Becky. These two have definitely impacted thousands of lives through their ministry together. I can't say enough positive things about the two of you. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. They're far from perfect, but they're forgiven, just like all who believe in Jesus. There's a call on Ken and Becky's lives that reaches far beyond the doors of this building and reaches into the uttermost parts of the world. The enemy has tried to take Ken's life more than once. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That same enemy has tried to destroy this ministry, but Satan has no authority or power over God's anointed. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I've spoken of several unique relationships this morning, and I look back on them and realize that each of those relationships had to be developed over time. Bonnie and I developed our relationship early on before we even got married. And with the help of the Lord, we continue to work on our relationship until death do us part. My relationship with Milton was built over time that we trusted each other and confided in each other. My youngest friend Zen and I had a special relationship that was developed over time, even as little boys. I say all of this to challenge you in your present relationships to prosper and grow them into lasting friendships that are full of love and trust, and most of all, built on a mutual faith in Jesus. James 1:19 says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." The kind of mutual relationship that I'm speaking about do take time and sometimes a lot of work. But in the end, it's all worth it. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." Look, if you will, to Matthew 28. A very familiar verse. Several very familiar verses. And Ken has already prayed this, and this is important for us as individuals and as this ministry. And these are the words of Jesus, and it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There's one more challenge I have for you this morning, and then I'll be done. As Christians, each of us has one major call on our lives, and that is to tell others about Jesus. Think of all the things that we do and all the places we go and all the things that we see and the various relationships that we have. But we drive really nice cars and we live in really nice houses and we like to do fun things. But the most important thing that we have to do is to tell others about Jesus. In reality, this is what our life should be about. Our life should revolve around Jesus. The scripture I just read from Matthew is not a suggestion from Jesus for us to occasionally tell others about him if we happen to think about it. No. This is a command from Jesus for all of us to go. It says, go therefore. It is our Lord and Savior telling us to get up out of our comfort zone and take action. We have the greatest story on earth to tell, and a lot of us have fear of rejection and offending others. But think about it. We don't have a problem telling each other about our favorite ball team. Redskins. My father-in-law would call them deadskins. We have no problem at all talking about a favorite NFL football player. We'll even wear their jersey. We'll wear logo shirts about all kinds of businesses and things and big blue Jeeps. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. How are they going to hear if we don't tell them? If not us, then who? Think about it for a moment. When was the last time you opened your mouth and talked with somebody about Jesus? Jesus says, go, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. This is about developing new, long-lasting Christian relationships built on faith in Jesus. Is it easy to do? No, not at first. But it may make an eternal difference in somebody else's life. Are you willing to invest your time and love into the life of someone else, even if you don't know them yet? There's people out there that you need to meet. How much time and love have others invested in you and me while developing godly relationships in us? You may be thinking, I don't know that many people. I don't get out that much. You just lied. How can I tell others about Jesus? I'm glad you asked that question. You did ask it, by the way, right? Are there family members or neighbors that don't know the Lord? But I don't know my neighbors that well. Then get up and go and knock on their door. Introduce yourself. Bonnie did that a number of years ago with a neighbor who lived across the street. And when she knocked on that door, that neighbor opened the door and said, I've been waiting for you to come and talk to me. How many people are waiting for us to come? Do you go to the grocery store? We do several times a week. Do you go to the mall? There are thousands of people there. Jesus just said to go. And then he said, and lo, I am with you always. If we'll just go, Jesus will give us the words to say. The Holy Spirit will remind us of scripture verses. He'll give us the courage to open our mouths and tell people about Jesus. This is what we're supposed to do. He is good at setting divine appointments for us. All we have to do is look for them. There's divine appointments all around us. All we have to do is look for them and be obedient. Keep a stack of the printed invitation cards in your car and in your pocketbook so you're ready to give them out at any given moment. But it's not just about giving out cards. It's about discipleship, taking the time to develop a relationship with somebody else so that they can come and understand better what Jesus is all about. If you think about it in reality, we are without excuse. Our main purpose in life as Christians is to tell others about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the very fact, Lord, that you have called us for a purpose. You have given us a reason to live, and the reason for us to live is Jesus. But we're not to hold Jesus inside of us. We're to tell others about him so that they too can come into a relationship with him, and then they can then tell others about Jesus, and the church will grow. And there will be many people who say yes to Jesus and spend eternity with him. Milton Coleman, Sally Clark are standing in the presence of Jesus right now because somebody told them about Jesus. May we be those people. I pray. In Jesus' name. I just want to give you an invitation. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I think I know most everybody here, but maybe not everybody, but if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to say yes to Jesus. And ask him to come and to live in your heart. Maybe you've strayed away from Jesus in some way, just like I did. Consider rededicating your life to Jesus again. Thank you.